Reading the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. Which of these do you stone me? The Jews answered him, It's not for a good work that we stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? He called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken. Do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And this is the Gospel of the Lord. Textual criticism may sound very dull, but sometimes you can see the puzzlement, the confusion of the early church. You can guess why they change things, why they decide that something doesn't quite make sense in the scripture and alter it. They make it, to their mind, more intelligible. You can see this, I think, in verse 38. He says, If I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me, but if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Now in the Greek, it's you may know and know that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Slightly different tenses, slightly different forms, but basically the same words. And later versions of the Gospel have changed this to that you may know and believe that the Father is in me. And here the translation struggles to use the same word twice, so it says you may know and understand. It seems like it's simply repeating itself. But that's the nature of knowledge. You know something, when you've learned it, it becomes part of you. Then you have to use it, then you have to let it come out. And when it comes out, it often comes out in a very different way. You know that 1 and 1 equals 2. From this you can know that 1 apple and another apple makes 2 apples. That's not quite the same as knowing that 1 person and another person makes 2 persons. That's a different kind of knowledge, and a knowledge that we have to use and understand again and again in our life. Knowledge is something we're always not so much relearning as using and discovering, that it's like an instrument in our hands that actually does things we didn't expect. It surprises us, even the things that we already know. Another example is knowing that 1 door and another door makes 2 doors. Well, 2 doors is quite different from 1 door. 2 doors is a dilemma that we have to use 1 door and choose the right door. It's a dilemma, a puzzle, a mystery, a challenge. Faced with 2 doors, we might decide to use neither, in which case 2 doors is worse than no door. Faced with choice. And that's something that comes up in Christian life. So what is it we know and know again? What is the big secret that we can learn from Jesus and his works? Well, quite simply, it is that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. That's it, the big secret. That's the biggest thing we could ever know. We can spend eternity learning that, knowing that, enjoying that knowledge. It's bigger than the universe, bigger in fact than any universe. There may be, as some scientists think, any amount of parallel universes, but the big truth, which is bigger than all of them, is that the Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. It sounds strange, it sounds like some odd geometry, a contradiction. But in point of fact, that's just love. Being in and having something in you is the nature of love. If you love someone, they're in you. If they love you, you are in them. Being in each other is what love is. All knowledge is having something within you. And that too is something we're continually learning. But for us it's also difficult because we have to find a doorway into each other. That's why I used the example of doors. Finding the right door, the right way into each other. Finding ways of being in each other. Finding ways of offering ourselves to each other. For us, in this world, love is difficult. And never quite complete. We never quite live in each other. We never quite become part of each other as we should. And yet that's the reality of our lives. We belong. We must enter into each other. And also, although it's a simple truth, here is the truth of infinity. We could imagine two universes that could stand up with all the stars and all their components and all the things that make them up. Imagine them embracing each other. That would be nothing. Nothing at all compared to the love of the Father and the Son. That's infinite. That's infinity containing infinity. Utterly infinite. Not the infinity we imagine of an infinite number of stars, of things, of entities, of objects, but the utter infinity, which is utterly simple, which there is no reservation, no holding back. Yet God expects us to discover something of that infinite love which has been, is now, and always will be in the short life of Jesus Christ, and also in our own short lives, which we live on the earth. And he expects us too to find it in the events that seem so far from love. Christ walking to the cross, Christ dying on the cross. And yet this is the perfection of love. Love which allows Christ to die on the cross. I think part of the explanation of that, a small part, but something I can say, is that love always contains trust. If you love someone, you allow them to be themselves. And Christ is allowed by his Father to be the object of love that saves the world, no matter what the price. Just as his mother stands at the cross and sees him die and accepts that. Because our love too is strong and adult. It allows Christ to be, quite simply, the Christ. So we have to know and know. We have to find the door into Christ himself, into his life, into what he is. The crowd reject Christ, they reject who he is. He's not in them. Their doors are closed, they do not let him in. But they are in him, because his love reaches out and embraces them. They are in him. He himself must be allowed into our life. Now that can be done well by knowing the simple truths that we have learned from the church, understanding them in the technical terms that we wish, God from God, light from light, consubstantial, all those buzzwords, all those keywords. More and more it's simply by living, by allowing ourselves to live as Christ lives, and entering into him, finding there is only one door into the life of Christ for the Father. The door, which is love, his grace, the open tomb, the open life, the openness of Jesus, our Lord.